for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of December the 27th, 1996, at the Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening.
Cook, I think all of you here are acquainted with him, have been set under his ministry before, and he's a minister and a prophet of the Lord, and he'll come and minister and close the service tonight as the Lord leads him. Brother Tommy.
Praise God. I know you sit down, but let's stand again together, can we? Good exercise. Hi, Brother Frazier. Praise God. I'm very glad you're here tonight. I'm very glad Jesus is here. If he wasn't here, we better go home. Father, we thank you. Jesus is here. Lord, your Son, we thank you for your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we reverence you tonight. Without you, we're nothing. Lord, we can say nothing, do nothing without you. And we ask that you would help us tonight as we share your word, Lord. Open the ears of your people. Give us understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And the Lord bless you. Praise God. How many of you enjoyed the meeting so far? Let's give the Lord a good hand. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord God. Hallelujah. How many know that man was put in a garden? Tell me his name. Man fell in a garden. What was his name? Adam. Jesus prayed in the garden. Jesus was buried in a garden. Jesus was crucified in a garden, John 19 says. And Jesus rose in a garden. But how many know today we are his garden? Yeah. Amen? And how many know he's plucking those weeds out of us? Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, our brother said briars and some other kind, he said in Florida. Hallelujah. I thank God for the river of God tonight, don't you? The life of God. You know, in Genesis, there were one river inside the garden. And when it came out of the garden, it went into four different heads. And out of unity comes diversity. And one of those rivers was called Pison. And the Bible said there was gold, dillium, and the onyx stone there. You remember that? And Paul said in the New Testament, there's gold, silver, and, come on, precious stones. And the onyx stone was on the shoulder of the high priest. That was one of the ceilings in Exodus 28. There were three ceilings in Exodus 28. That was one of them. The government's on his shoulder. Isn't that right? But how many know the shoulder's part of the body? And how many know you and I must shoulder some government? Come on, tonight. Isn't that right? And where God's river is, and where God's river is flowing, you have the government of God. And if the government of God and the river of God is not there, you have wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire of God will consume it. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise God. And you know, the river was there in Genesis, flowing out of the garden. We are that garden. You go to Ezekiel, the river's flowing out of the house. We are that house. John 7, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow what? Come on. Rivers of living water. One time I was preaching, and I got in a hurry, and I said, livers. Rivers. Of living water. And then in Revelation, it's flowing from the Lamb and from the throne. Amen? Praise God. How many know that's in you? And that's in me. Can you say amen? Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs tonight, I want to touch a scripture. In chapter 21 or 2 here. Chapter 22, 20. I'm going to give you two scriptures as we start out. Proverbs 22, 20. It says, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Now, notice that word excellent things. It means threefold. The Hebrew means threefold. So let's read it this way. Have not I written to thee in threefold things in counsels and knowledge? How many know God speaks in threes? Next verse. Why does he do that? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of what? Truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. So God speaks in threes. He speaks truth in threes. Now go to the New Testament, to Hebrews 6. One other scripture I want to give you here. Hebrews 6. Look at verse 19 and 20. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. And the scripture said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise God. How many thank God tonight for the mind of Christ? You know, I was thinking there, sitting there, the Lord quickened some things to me. You know, the Bible said he knoweth our frame. And how many know that every one of our frames are bent in one direction or another? There's the Adamic nature or the Adamic mind. There is a mind that wants to exalt someone above Jesus sometimes. And how many know that sometimes it wants to exalt us above Jesus? Come on. Then there is the carnal frame of mind. There is a base frame of mind. There is a childish frame of mind. How many has ever had to battle that? Amen? And then there is the kingdom frame of mind. There is the humble frame of mind. And there is a spiritual mind. Praise God. And I was thinking on all those, and I've taught those before. There's a lot there in those particular things. But I want to tell you what. God wants us to offer up our soul to him. How many know our soul belongs to the Lord? You know, the devil wants your soul. The devil comes with from without. He wants your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. And God within says, it is mine. Who are we going to yield to, brethren? Who are we going to yield to? Amen? What is our mind? That's what we think. Isn't that right? What is our will? That's our desires. What's our emotions? It's our feeling. And yet God said, I want that mind. I want those desires. I want that will. I want those emotions because it belongs to me. Praise God. Now, how many know that God gives men at times and women miracle ministries? And how many thank God for miracle ministries? We don't deny that. We believe that. But what if God says, now I want you to offer up your soul and I want you to give me that ministry back for a while? Can we do that? What if God would tell some ministries to dismantle? Could they do it? Will they do it? God only knows. What if God says, I want you to lay the gifts of the Holy Spirit aside for a little while? For certain reasons. God, how many know God will do that? Amen? Praise God. So there's some people here who've got some problems in your left arm. I want you to stand. If you've got any problem in the left arm, stand right now to your feet. Who are you? Stand right up to your feet. Let's reach your hands out to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, we just rebuke this attack in their arm, Father God, and we ask the Holy Spirit right now to heal and deliver them in your mighty name, Jesus, and we thank you for their healing, every one of them, right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Where was we at? Okay. So the Lord may want us to give up our ministry for a while, our gifts for a while, set us aside for a while, and he may do that. And I could just hear somebody say, well, Lord, what about the crowd? What about, Lord, my reputation? What about, Lord, my money, my finances? God told me a long time ago, you don't have to be out there to get finances. How many know God can move supernaturally? And he showed me that in a hard situation. What about my popularity, Lord? Everybody knows me. They know I preach and I go here and I go there. What about my church, Lord? What about my ministry? What about the Lord? Turn over to Timothy. Now, we're going to get into some things here, so hang on. Let's go to Timothy. How many know it's usually my gifts, my ministry. Come on, my reputation, my church, my money, my popularity. We got to lose that identity, don't we? 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. Paul was ready to die. And notice he said he was ready. You know, Peter said that one time. He was ready, but he wasn't ready. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Have we fought a good fight? We've done a lot of fighting. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now notice, henceforth, because of all of that, there is laid up for me something. Come on. A crown of righteousness. Amen. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Notice, if the rapture, no. At that day, the day of the Lord, not only to me only, but also to them, all them that love his appearing. Hallelujah. Now turn to Revelation 4. Let me give you another scripture here. Revelation 4. So Paul knew that there was a crown coming because he'd kept the faith and he'd done what God told him. But look in Revelation 4. It says in verse 10, the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They cast their crowns before the Lord. And they said, You're worthy, Lord, to receive these crowns. Well, how many know it's time to cast our ministry before the Lord? And say, Lord, it's not mine, it's yours. It's not my gifts, Lord, it's your gifts. Whatever else he requires. Are you hearing? Hallelujah. And God is going to require a lot out of us as we go on in the Lord. Amen? Now, we know that God speaks in threes. I said that. How many know in the outer court we were forgiven by the blood of Jesus? Amen? We were saved. Became a 30-folder. Passover. The Passover became real to us. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. How many know we're saved by grace? Through faith. Not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting in our salvation. It's all in Jesus. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And then we get filled with the Holy Ghost. And we learn to move into the body of Christ, into the holy place. But how many know there's a lot of people live in the outer court and speak in tongues? Come on now. But God wants us to speak in tongues and move into the holy place, into that 60-fold realm, which is Pentecost. And that's Ephesians, 1:13 through 18, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there's one more step we've got to come to. And how many know that's the fullness of the Spirit? That's a 100-fold realm. That's tabernacles. And that's in Ephesians. Come on, chapter 1, chapter 3, and chapter 4. He talks about this fullness that we must enter into. Faith, hope, come on, help me, and love. We took on the faith of Jesus. He gave us the measure of faith, didn't he? And then he is our hope. And then, of course, we must come into that very love, the love of God, the ultimate height of God, that he wants us to come into. That fullness is his love. There is the realm of children, the realm of young men, the realm of fathers. The Old Testament said there's a cub, there's a lion, and an old lion. Or I said another way, there's justification, sanctification, glorification. There are workers, there's warriors, and there's worshipers. Think about Jesus just a second. Let me know that unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And that baby born in Bethlehem was Jesus. But Jesus also came to the River Jordan, which speaks of spreading of judgment. And he was God's son, shouldered the government of God upon him, and the Spirit of God in fullness was upon him. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. So there's a baby state, isn't there? And how many know we see Jesus at 12? And he astonished all the lawyers and doctors, didn't he, at 12? And then we see him again at what age? Come on. What's 12 from 30? 666. How many know he was overcoming to show us how to do it? Come on now, don't shout me down. Amen? Hallelujah. And so there's some overcoming. You and I have to learn to do. Now, in the tabernacle, the brazen altar speaks of the blood, speaks of salvation, speaks of the cross. How many thank God for the blood and the cross tonight? And then we come to the laver. Speaks of the washing of the word, sanctification, speaks of water baptism, speaks of a covenant. Now, how many baptisms are there? Well, basically, there's three or four. How many know there's a baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Ghost, baptism into the body of Christ. And some have said baptism of suffering. Well, but we know at least there's three baptisms, isn't there? Baptism of fire. Well, that's, yeah, okay. Because there's a Red Sea. There's the cloud, and there's Jordan. There's your fire. Praise God. Now, how many know that God wants us to wash in that labor? I appreciate what George said tonight. I believe exactly what he said. How many know this word needs to wash us? And the priest had to wash going in and coming out lest they die. Isn't that right? And how was the labor made? Of what? The looking glasses, the hand mirrors of the women, which is made of brass. And how many know that we've got to judge ourselves lest we be judged? And as they would look, the priest would look in that water, they'd see an image, they'd see themselves, and you would say, oh my. But how many know we need to see ourselves tonight? But don't stop there. We need to see the real image tonight. Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, then there's the lampstand. What does the lampstand represent? It speaks of union with Christ. And how many know there was the sunlight out in the natural, there was the artificial light in the holy place, but back in the Holy of Holies was what kind of glory? What kind of light? Shekinah. Now, the guy out in the outer court, he said, boy, that guy's in darkness back there, but that guy, that priest is back there where that Shekinah glory is. He's saying, man, they're really in darkness out there. Anybody want to come into the Shekinah glory of God? Let me know there's a way to come into it. But it speaks of a union with Christ, this lampstand. And then we go to the, what's the next piece in the holy place? Come on. Who knows the Bible? It's the showbread. How many loaves were on that table? 12 loaves. What is 12? 12 tribes, but 12 is government. Feeding on Christ. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. I mean, there's one body, there's one loaf tonight. Are we partaking of one another? I mean, no, the fullness is in the body. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody, then what was the next piece of furniture in the holy place? Come on. The golden altar of incense. That's where Uzziah died. And God stops man at the golden altar of incense many times. Because he will not let man take that sin on in. Great men of God that God has used in the past have died at the golden altar of incense. Oh, they were saved. They were taken out physically. Many of them. But God stopped them, didn't he? For many reasons. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's look over just a minute to Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews 9. Verse 2 through 4. For there was a tabernacle made. The first wherein was a candlestick, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now, did you notice in the New Testament it didn't mention the golden altar of incense there in the holy place? Let me see that. In the Old Testament, it's in the holy place. Not here. Because something changed. Look at the next verse. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, or the golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, where was the golden pot, the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant, and so forth. So here, it's mentioned, if Paul's writing of the Hebrews, he's saying it's in the Holy of Holies, here in the New Testament. So something changed from the old to the new, didn't it? Can you see that? Praise God. Now, what does a golden altar of incense speak of? Okay, speaks of prayer, worship, intercession, those type things. But it also speaks of offering up of your soul, the final part of it. I think all that holy place speaks of the soul. But it speaks also the offering up of your mind, your will, your emotions, your desire. How many know that incense rose up? And how many know that our soul, we must give our soul to God, amen, upon his altar. Can you hear that? Now, when did the high priest go into the Holy of Holies? On the Day of Atonement, at one month, okay? Now, how many know at tabernacles, the first day was the blowing of the trumpets, 10 days later was Atonement, and 15th day there was the Feast of Tabernacles. 15th is the number of rest. And so he would go in on the 10th day of that 7th month, once a year, and take the golden altar within the veil on the Day of Atonement, and he met God face to face. How many know he went in there with fear and trembling? And how many know if we're going in with fear and trembling? Come on. We're not going in nonchalant, are we? We're not going in just any way we want to. There's a way to enter the Holy of Holies. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to work what I'm going to say. You can't get to the offering up of your soul or that golden altar of incense, even though you've went to the lampstand, you've had a union with Christ. You can't run from there over to the golden altar of incense unless you come through the showbread. I mean, hear that. Until you begin to feast and feed on the bread of life. And each one of these experiences are real. You don't just get them all at once. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And I believe that many, many are leaving out that showbread, that feeding upon Christ. Amen? We have a union with the Lord, but many are not eating the book. Come on, feeding on the Word. And that's what's going to lead you to the goal of all of incense, and not only worship and all that it stands for, but also to finally offer up your soul and say, God, my soul is yours, not mine. How many know we've got to have some life and energy from God to do it? We can't do it in ourselves. Anybody hear me tonight? Hallelujah. Now, many think they can just stay home and say, well, Jesus will, he will feed me. Well, how many know he does feed us? But I want to tell you, it's wrong to stay from the body. We must assemble ourselves with the body of Christ. I don't care how spiritual we are, we need the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, no apostle, no prophet can live above this word. No one. We need to be part of a body somewhere, someplace. Maybe a handful, maybe a home group, maybe a whatever. But we need to be part of a body where God has put us. And how many know the body of Christ will help feed you wherever you are? Isn't that right? As well as the fivefold ministry. Praise God. Now, let's go over to Scripture. Go to John. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. You remember the man of Gadara that had all the 6,000 demons cast out? You remember he wanted to be with Jesus? Jesus said, go back to your home and tell him what great things God's done. All right. But where's Jesus at today? Yes, he's at the right hand, but where else is he? He's in the body, isn't he? So if you want to be of Jesus, you better find the body. You'll find Jesus. Isn't that right? 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 20. Let's see here. Hallelujah. No, it's 1 John. Just a second. 27. Let's read it together. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now let me ask you a question. Did God ordain fivefold ministry? What did he ordain the fivefold ministry for? All right. To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to bring them to perfection, right? To the fullness of Christ. The stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Now, he said, you need not any man teach you, but how many know people go off on a tangent sometime with that verse? Now, if Christ ordained his fivefold ministry to minister the word of God, how many know it's Christ in the minister teaching the people? Is it? Okay? Praise God. Now, so if Christ is in the man or in the woman, teaching the word of God, sharing truth, hallelujah, I mean, know that it is Christ doing it through the man. Amen? Now, we say man only hears 20% of what he, you know, what's being preached or taught. No, that's not right. If you're in the Spirit, you'll hear 120%. You know why? Because you'll hear things the one here teaching is not even saying. Even though Christ is ministering through him and her. They'll be saying things that you'll pick up. You'll be picking things up that they're not saying. And you'll be hearing more than 20%. You might hear 120%. Are you hearing? So Christ ministering through the fivefold ministry, hallelujah, causes us to hear. Amen. And so, we need to recognize that. Because I've heard people take that verse and say, well, I don't need anybody to teach me. I'll stay home. That's a lie. That's a lie. Don't listen to that garbage. Amen? Now, what was in the Holy of Holies? The ark, wasn't it? The ark, the overshadowing of His presence, the Shekinah glory, the fullness of Him. He's going to bring a people into that. You want to come into that fullness? You want to enter the fullness of God? Are you satisfied where you are? Are you satisfied? You want to stay where you are? No, we shouldn't. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have a veil? Look in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Let me ask you another question. Was Jesus dead to sin? Was He dead to self? Was He dead to the world? Was He dead to anything and everything that maybe He wanted to do? He never did anything out of Himself, did He? He was dead to the Father. Look here in Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. This way is new and is living. Which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. What's holding us back? What's holding us back? Hallelujah. How many know there's three barriers that's hindering people? How many remember when you was in the world and the Holy Ghost began to deal with you, come on, to get saved? How many remember that? You remember that? I do. I was miserable. How many know the Spirit drew us to Jesus? And yet, until we said yes and we bowed our knee, how many know that there was a hindrance to God? We were stopping God from working in our life, wasn't we? Isn't that right? Although we know He saved us, we didn't do anything. But how many know there's also, and how many know we were forgiven at that time? But then there's another barrier between the gate that you come in and entering the door, the body of Christ. How many know there's another lock there? There's another barrier there. A lot of people's in the outer court. They don't want to go any farther. They don't want to speak in tongues. Come on now. They don't want to prophesy. I mean, no, they don't want to function in the body of Christ. It requires something to function. There's responsibility, isn't there? Amen? Many claim to be in the body, but you don't see the functioning of the body. How many know the arm is part of that body? And it's got its place to play in this body, the natural body. And how many know we in the body of Christ are many members, and we have our function? Amen? We can't do what we want to do. We have to do what the head tells us. His name is Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And then we were filled with the Holy Ghost. We began to enter the body. Some of us did. And then there is the last barrier between the door. How many pillars are over the door? Anybody can tell me? Five pillars. Grace. Fivefold ministry. But there was a barrier between the door and the veil. Excuse me. And the Holy of Holies. And that is a veil. Now turn to Scripture. Turn to Matthew. There's barriers. It's stopping God from working in our life. How many know God wants our total, complete will? And if we've totally given it to God, we'd already be there. How many know He's still working on us? Look at verse 50 of Matthew 27. Jesus, verse 50. When He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Came out of the graves after what, brethren? His resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Hallelujah. What am I reading? How many know there was a natural temple? Amen? There was a natural priest. There was a natural veil. And God supernaturally rent it from top to bottom. And how many know that veil is rent today? Amen? And how many know, praise God, that when the veil is rent in our life, there'll be a resurrection? How many heard that? Hallelujah. Now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's look at that scripture. Look in Colossians. Look in Colossians. Good to see Brother Pittman here tonight. Praise the Lord, Brother Pittman. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 26 through 29. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, come on, read it with me. Christ where? In you, the hope of glory, whom, notice, we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect where? In Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor. Now, this was not natural physical labor, striving according to his working, which worketh where? Where's this work at? In me mightily. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, isn't it? Praise God. Now, God enters us. Christ enters us. But we also must enter into him. They're both related. And listen to this statement now. You will enter into God as much as you allow God to enter into you. Can you hear that? If we stop the Lord from coming in us, it will stop us from moving into him. Amen? What did Jesus say in Revelation? Behold, I stand somewhere. Come on. And knock. Amen. Hear my voice. And open the door. What am I going to do? I will come into him. Sup with him. And what else? He will sup with me. Hallelujah. But how many know that you can only sup with him as you allow him to sup with you? Amen? You must open the door for him to enter. Then he'll open a door for you to enter into him. Can you hear that? Oh, hallelujah. Look in Revelation 4. Praise God. John began to enter in. Revelation 4. John heard the voice of God saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. But look in verse 1, though. After this I looked, and behold, what? A door was open. Remember, he's saying, you open your door, I will come in. Now he's opening a door. And John went in. Amen? Hallelujah. And he heard the trumpet. He was in the Spirit. And he saw the one setting on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the Lord must enter in before you enter into him. Amen? Now, where is this veil? Where is this veil tonight we're talking about? We saw one was rent in the natural, didn't we? This veil, I believe, tonight is between man's mind and his spirit. Or you can say the soul and the spirit. But how many know the veil's not only upon man's even heart, but also his flesh? Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Let me show you this. We say, well, this is just for the Jews. And it's true. I mean, the natural Israel. But look here in chapter 3, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians. How many know that some Christians don't even believe in the Old Testament? How many know that some ministers never preached in the Old Testament? But how many know Christ is alive in the Old Testament? To those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, isn't that right? He said in verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away where? And the more that we move into Christ, come on, the more the veil is being lifted in our life. How many thank God we're moving up into Christ, son? But how many satisfied? Oh, we got to keep moving, don't we? Hallelujah. But when we move up into Christ, brethren, the veil is being removed. Amen? The barriers are being removed. Where? In Christ. As we begin to move towards the fullness, God is removing barriers and all the things that would hinder us. Can you say amen? Praise God. As we learn to overcome the flesh daily. Amen? Paul said, I die what? Daily. Praise God. Well, why can't I come to perfection today? Well, how many know there's a timing? But let me tell you something even greater than that. You and I are preventing us from receiving perfection. How many know we're the biggest stumbling block right here? I know it's the Lord going to do it. But yet, how many know we stand in the way so much of the time? Isn't that right? Amen. It's going to take the fivefold ministry to bring us to that place. We know that. And how many know Jesus is the only human being that ever has ever broken through that veil? And he went through it, didn't he? Hallelujah. And now what's he doing? He's expecting little old you and me to also have that same experience. Wasn't he the forerunner? Yes. If he's the forerunner, then somebody else can make it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But how many know there's enough flesh in the best of us to prevent the absolute work of God if we allow it? Amen? What is Romans 13? I think it's Romans 13 says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Mm-hmm. And thank God some in this meeting and other places, I believe there's a kicking away of the flesh in some of our lives. Amen? I mean, oh, some of us are working on it by the help of the Lord. We're overcoming the fleshly mind, Colossians 2:18 talks about. And how many know the carnal mind, the fleshly mind is a wicked thing? It's a wicked thing. And probably many in this room have been hurt by the carnal mind so much. Amen? But how dare us want perfection? How dare us to want perfection when our own emotions are out of control? Fear, amen, and anger. I mean, God's got to work on us. See, we got this idea that everybody's going to be resurrected all at once. Would you like to be resurrected in a new body with the same old mind? No, it won't happen that way. No way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before there is a veil removed, there is that resurrection. Now look at Leviticus 16. Praise God. Leviticus 16. How many want to offer your soul up to God? Truly. Leviticus 16. How many know deliverance is part of it? Leviticus 16. Verse 12. Talking about the high priest here. He was a high priest was a picture of the Lord. He shall take a censer full of burning coals. And these burning coals were off the altar, the brazen altar. A fire. Everything stems from the cross, doesn't it, brethren? That we must do. From off the altar before the Lord, and notice his hands, double hands. What the Amplified says. Double hands, or hands full of sweet incense. I mean, the Lord wants some more sweetness in us. How do you get it? By prayer, by worship, by intercession, spending time with God. And notice this incense is beaten small. Come on, we got to go down. He must be exalted. Are you hearing me? And you got to bring this incense, this double handful of incense, within the veil. If you're going to enter the veil, you got to take a double handful. Prayer, worship, and intercession, all that goes with it. I mean, that's part of entering the veil. And what does it say? And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And if he didn't come God's way, how many know he was a dead man? And man today has to come God's way through Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And when that high priest went into that Holy of Holies, how many know the crown of the anointing oil had to be upon him? The blood, he had to take the blood in and he sprinkled on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat 7 times, I believe it was. Double hands of incense had to be taken in, and he put it on the golden altar of incense in the Holy of Holies. He had to be dressed right. He couldn't just wear any garb in there, could he? No. No blemishes upon the priest that would do this. He had a mitre on his head, and he had a little emblem that said, Holiness to the Lord, the mind of Christ. Praise God. And he washed going out, and he washed coming in, and so forth. Lest he die. lest he die. Amen? Praise God. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 19. We read it a while ago, but I want to read it again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Boldness means confidence. To enter into the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus. How many thank God for his blood tonight? We can enter in by his blood. Amen? Now look in chapter 9. Look in chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For us. Hallelujah. He paid the total price, didn't he? And then we go over to chapter 4, verse 16. Here we see this boldness. We can come boldly through the blood. But here he says in 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. We can come boldly because of his blood. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, we know in the Old Testament there was a Passover blood that was shed. And then at Pentecost, there was the blood sprinkled on the people and on the book. And then coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, or coming on into the, we'd say the most holy place. I mean, all that blood had to be sprinkled upon that mercy seat and before it. Blood, blood, blood in the Old Testament. But thank God, we're not redeemed today with blood, the blood of bulls and goats, but with his, come on, precious blood. Now look in 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 7. 1 John 5, 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what, brethren? One. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Oh, look at that. Now, I looked at that and I said, okay, I see the Father here. And how many know the Father is a Spirit, isn't he? Uh-huh. And then I could see the Word and the water going together because we're washed with the washing of the Word. Isn't that right? But I had a problem for some reason putting the Holy Ghost and the blood together. But let's go back to Adam. How many know God made Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils what, brethren? And how many know when God breathed into him, blood came into his body by the Spirit? Where did Jesus get his blood? From the Father. Amen? Now, let me show you something. Look in Hebrews 9. Look in Hebrews 9, 14. I want to show you how the Holy Ghost and the blood are together here. Hebrews 9, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the what? Eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience and dead from dead works to serve the living God. Look in 10:29. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, who hath carried the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, unholy thing, and hath done despite unto what? The Spirit of grace. All right? Now, look in Romans 8. Let me give you just one more. Romans 8. I have several, but let's go to Romans 8. Now, watch these two scriptures I'm putting together here. Romans 8, and look at verse 11. Romans 8, 11. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says. But if the same Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So what raised Jesus? Spirit, all right? Dwell where? In you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. All right, it's the Spirit raising. Now let's go to Hebrews 13, and let's see what else it says here in chapter 13, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 20. And it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, raised to the blood by the Holy Ghost. Let me see that. So, yes, the Father and the Spirit are one. The Word and the water are one. And the Holy Ghost and the blood, hallelujah, are one. Can you say amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, go back to Hebrews 6. Let's see what it says here again. Thank you, Lord. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered for us, entered in, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise God. Notice that phrase. Which hope we have as an anchor. An anchor what? Of the soul. Hallelujah. Let me know Christ is our helmet of salvation. Christ is my anchor as well in my soul. Amen? Let me know hope is supernatural. Do you know that? The God of hope. The God of hope. Hope comes from God the Father. That's supernatural, isn't it? Huh? It means a confident expectancy, that word there, that hope. Praise God. Now, you remember in Hebrews 6, the beginning here, Kyle touched on this morning. God said, let us go on to something. To perfection. Amen? Or maturity. Amen? So we started in this chapter. Paul was saying, let's go to perfection. And now we come to the very climax of this chapter. Amen. In the last two verses. Hallelujah. And he says, hope enters into that within the veil. Hallelujah. We're not there in person yet, are we? No. But because Jesus Christ is there, I mean, oh, we're there tonight in him. In him, I said. And by faith, my anchor is already hooked. Hallelujah. Into that glorious realm of God. Do you believe that? And our ship, brethren, is gradually but surely being drawn into his presence. Do you believe that? And he was that forerunner. He was the pattern. And somebody else has got to follow in his footsteps. Amen? Praise God. And what did he say that hope was? An anchor to my soul. Hope is an anchor to your soul just as an anchor is to a ship. Amen? And how many know that stabilizing power? A strong anchor prevents a ship from being swept along at the mercy of every wind and sea current. And how many know we've been swept along by winds of doctrines too long? It's time to grow up in Christ. Amen? And without an anchor, how many know shipwreck is imminent? It is imminent. Praise God. Now go over to Exodus 25. Be out by midnight. No. Exodus 25:20. Listen to what God said to Moses. He said 25:20. The cherubims. Well, let me go back and say this. How many know that the high priest could go only once a year into the Holy of Holies? But you read Moses going in and out of that place. Do you know that? Isn't that something? He had that place with God. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. In the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there, notice that, I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I command you, thee in the commandment unto the children of Israel. Notice three things here. First of all, there is worship. Let me know these wings of the cherubims were stretched out on high. And they were covering the mercy seat. That speaks of worship. And then the second thing is, now was their wings stretched out over the mercy seat, but their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat. That's fellowship. And God said something in verse 22. There I will meet with thee, Moses. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. That's revelation. So out of worship and fellowship will come divine revelation. Anybody want some new revelation? Get in worship and fellowship with your God. And how many know he'll speak back to you? Amen? Now go to Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Revelation 12. How many believe God's raising up a man child? His overcomers. Now, let me tell you what God's going to allow happen. He's going to let the devil loose against these overcomers. Do you hear what I said? He's going to let the devil loose against the overcomers. Look here in chapter 12, verse 4. And at the time that he raises up this bride of Christ, is going to give birth to the man child, the overcomers. There's also going to be a great apostasy, and it's already happening. Because stars are falling. Look in verse 4. And his tail, and remember the tail, if you don't know the dragon, is Isaiah 9. It's prophets teaching lies. His tail, through the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. Now remember, John's seeing future, not just way back there somewhere. Now we know things happened back there when Satan fell. But his tail, through the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the bride, the woman, the church here, which was ready to be what? Delivered for to devour her child. That's who he's after, as soon as it was born. So as the man child is birth, born, Satan is going to seek to destroy him. Now this is Christ in a people, we know that. I mean, oh, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father tonight. Amen? He's not in any danger, hallelujah, he's already paid the total price. Verse 5, he never was in any danger. How many know he overcome everything that came his way? Verse 5. And what did it say? And she brought forth, come on, a man-child who was to rule, literally shepherd all nations. With a rod of iron, that's the spirit realm, the rule, not the flesh realm. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Hallelujah. So, God's going to let the devil come against the man-child just as it's born. Same time stars are going to be falling out of the heavens. Saints of God falling. Apostasy is taking place, brethren. I mean, all you have to do is watch the television and you see it. Amen? And we better pray that we don't fall. Can you say amen? And so, God catches this overcomer. These overcomers up into that throne. Amen. Because the devil seeks to destroy it, but God won't let it. God takes him into a higher realm, into that throne room with him. Praise God. So what if Satan comes against you? How many know God can just raise you up higher? Huh? Over him. Amen? And then he comes to get the woman. What God did God do? Look down in verse 13. When the dragon saw he was cast to the earth, he persecuted this woman. This woman here is the bride of Christ. Now, not everybody's in the bride of Christ, but I ain't going to get into that. But this is the bride which brought forth what? Come on. The man child and to the woman. We're given, it literally means the two wings of the great eagle. How many know he's the great eagle? What are these two wings? It is the mind of Christ. That she might what? Fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for times, have a time from the face of the serpent. God catches her up into a realm that's higher and protects her from all the flood and all that comes out, which is false doctrine and filth and all the things Satan's going to throw at her. I mean, oh, God is greater than any enemy we have. Praise God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now let's go to John 14. I got so much here. I want to go to one more scripture. John 14. No, one more. We must come to. But how many know this is a serious matter, right? We're talking about. We must come to this place that when judgment hits the earth, when tribulation hits the earth, amen? When midnight comes, we must be in that Holy of Holies, Psalms 91. We must be there. How many know we're too low tonight? I said that last night. It's time to come up, isn't that right? It's time to climb in God. Come on and ascend into our God. We've got to spend time with God. Amen. But here in John 14, familiar scripture probably, but let's look at it. Look in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, come on, or what? I mean, Jesus was the first house. Amen? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's not heaven. How many know heaven's always, it's already there? Huh? Does it take Jesus 2,000 years to build your mansion? No. If I go and prepare a place for you, and I'm not telling you there's not mansion. I don't know what heaven's like. How many know it's a glorious place? How many want to see it? Hallelujah. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, where am you, Jesus? Where are you, Jesus? Well, how many know he comes first in the Spirit, and then we know he'll come out in the air out there. But where are you, Lord? He said, where I am, there you may be also. Look in verse 10. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am where? In the Father, and the Father in me. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And what did he say? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. Well, where is he? He's in the Father, all right? Did I read verse 12? Okay, look down to verse 20, I believe it is. Well, look at verse 18, first of all. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. That means as orphans. I will come to you. All right, how does it come to us? It comes to us in character and his nature, the fruits of the Spirit. He comes to us in power, the gifts of the Spirit, and he comes to us in government, the fivefold ministry, to perfect us. Now, look down to verse 20. And then he said, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Brethren, he wants to take you and me into our Father. We met Jesus as Savior. Hallelujah. We were filled with the Holy Ghost. But how many know we're getting to know the Father? Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. So, there's a people. There's a people that's going to enter through that veil. There's a people going to be caught up. There's a people that's going to live for God, not for themselves. And how many know daily we must overcome this flesh? We must lay our ministry down. Whatever it takes, what God requires, we must lay it down. And you know what, brethren? When you lay your ministry down, your gifts down, or whatever it may God requires, man will not understand you. Well, I remember so-and-so, he used to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit so beautiful. And now he doesn't do anything. But he may not know what God is requiring of us. It may be for a season. I know a man that he asked God to take the gifts away one time because there were things in his life that wasn't right. He said, God, until I get these things right, remove it for a while. How many know God's faithful? Yeah. Amen? It's got to be all him. It can't be of us. Can you say amen? You know, brethren, we come into meetings and people want a word of the Lord. And I want a word, too, at times. But how many know we can't do anything out of ourselves? I don't try. Unless there is a setting by the Holy Ghost in meetings, you can't do it. You cannot prophesy out of yourself. People do it. But we cannot do it. We dare not do those things. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's rededicate our hearts to the Lord. In your own way. Father God, we submit to you tonight, Lord. We ask that you help us, Lord. Father, forgive us, wash us. You know what it's going to take for us to enter in, Lord God. Lord, it's not my ministry. It's not my gifts. It's not my anything. It's all you, Lord. And we ask that you take that which you have put in this, Lord, and use it for your glory, for your honor. You said, no flesh will glory in my presence. We ask, Lord, that the true and the pure, holy ministry of Jesus would flow into us and through us. Father, forgive us for forms and rituals. We've done things over and over and over again the same way. Forgive us, Lord. Let us be diverse. Let us move only by the Holy Spirit. Not the way we did it 10 years ago or 5 years ago, Lord. but the way you want it in 1996. Oh, Father, help us, we pray. Give us eyes again to see and ears to hear tonight. And everybody said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. God love you. Amen. Praise God. Tomorrow morning, what time is it, Brother Glenn? 6 o'clock prayer meeting.
In the very heart of Jesus, His presence can be found. He's as close as the mention of His name. There is never any distance between my Lord and me. He's as close as the mention of Jesus, close as the mention of His name. Jesus, Jesus, He's as close as the mention of His name.
Other song here.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master,
concludes this evening's service. The following is some of the music from the earlier part of the service during praise and worship time.
Oh, my children, my children, my children, I have called you here this night. I have called you here to hear my word brought forth. For yea, I am raising up an army. I am raising up an army, an end-time army, to go forth and to proclaim my name. An end-time army to proclaim my name and declare the coming of my kingdom. So listen carefully this day, and know that I am coming soon, saith the Lord.
There's a light shining. Oh, I can see it in the horizon. It's the army of God. Preparing for war. Army conquering victory. The army of God preparing for war. Coming, conquering, victoria.
Victoria!
Over the army of Satan. Nothing can stand before the army.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.